It is hilarious that we sing songs in church like, God, we want to see your face. Show us your face. And he's like, don't we know that like people die when we see the face of God? Like anywhere in scripture, when God even like kind of comes and shows himself, it's just like, she gone. Bye-bye. Like, people had to hide themselves in the crack of rocks so that like, the back of God could go by them. And it was a crazy amount of light. And so my friend's just like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, cool. It's nice to think that we can see the face of God, but like, do we want to die? Is this what we're actually asking for? So hopefully we don't have any of those songs on the docket after the sermon. But God's response to Moses's huge, bold request is what we just read. He proclaims his name and his character, not just for the benefit of Moses. It's not like, okay, fine, here, this will help you feel better. But for the benefit of the entire Israelite community. It spurs on transformation for God's people, if you keep reading, because they have things to cling to. But right before this amazing revelation from God, Israel has what might be their biggest failure ever. They were just rescued by God from oppression and slavery. They witnessed the destruction of their enemies. The parting of the Red Sea was before this. And like right after everything started looking up for them, they made a golden calf and they worshiped it because they were like Moses was on the mountain too long. They worshiped that instead of the Lord. Their God. That's called idolatry. It's a big yikes. We talked about it last week. Feel free to listen to that if you would like. So we find Moses on this mountain after all of this pleading with God for mercy. And it's at this very moment, in the depths of Israel's failure, that God most fully reveals himself to his people. Like right there, after the biggest oops, God reveals who he truly is. He says that he's merciful and gracious, and he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in steadfast love. He's faithful. And I think it's really important for us to notice that God didn't do this in a moment of like triumph or victory. He wasn't like so proud of his people telling them all this stuff. He didn't do this when their enemies had been defeated and driven out right after the Red Sea. He didn't do it when people were like really feeling good about themselves and grasping their whole worth. It was when they were most aware of their sin and like the evil inside of them that God was like, okay, I'll tell you a little bit about who I am. And so tonight, I'd like to suggest that we're like those ancient people. So we're ready to receive the truth about God only when we're ready to receive the truth about ourselves. And like, I don't want this to be a downer, but God could have proclaimed his name to his people at any time, literally any time. He can do whatever he wants. He could have chosen Passover when all the firstborns throughout Egypt died, or he could have chosen when they walked through dry ground as God split the sea. One of my favorite writers, his name is Sky Jatani, he says this. He says, it is in the trials, the struggles, the losses, and often the self-inflicted pain of our own sin that opens us to discover the true God. Humility, not victory, is what makes us receptive to the most profound revelations about God's character. The times in my life that I've learned the most about who God is were the times in my life when I was just like falling on my face. They were the hardest times of my life that God was like, okay, I'll prove it to you. And as we enter this series about the name of God, and we're going to camp out here for a while. We're going to go through all of those things that he says he is. We're invited into humility and into discovery of the true God, the God that God says he is. Not the God that we say he is, not the catchy worship tunes that we write, the God that God himself says that he is. And I want, like, the thing that I want most is to just know God better. That's what I want. I want to understand God better, knowing fully that I'm not going to on this side of eternity. And, like, I hope that you do too. I hope that there's a longing in you who wants to know if God's good and wants to hold him to that. And we'll dive into what it means that he's compassionate and merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, faithful, a promise keeper. But tonight, I think that our invitation, before we get into too much of that and before I try to dig too deep, is to just open our hearts and receive the truth of what God says he is tonight. And so whatever inside of you is blocking that truth, tonight could be the night to give it up. Whatever it is inside of you that's saying, like, I'm not sure that I believe this, or, like, I've heard all this other stuff about God, and I'm not sure that that's a God I really want to worship. Like, whatever that kind of stuff is, our reminder tonight is, like, right in the middle of our biggest failure, God's proclaiming his truth over our lives. And that is something worth listening to. And God's revelation to Moses at Mount Sinai also shatters the illusion that we have any control over our knowledge of God. Like, the thing that would make sense is for God to be, like, totally ticked that their people within, like, seconds decide, not days, it's days, decide that something else that they created is worth more worship than God himself. And so, like, that's what they probably expected. And then he just showers them in compassion. And so, like, whoever you think that God is, if you think he's, like, this judge up there in heaven. When I was a kid, I used to think that God was, like, 12 feet tall. I don't know why. I was just like, well, he's probably, like, a really tall person. 12 feet, to be exact. But whoever it is, like, there's a writer, his name's A.W. Tozer, and he says, the thing that you believe about God is the most important thing about you. What you picture when you think of God is the most important thing about you. And so, like, you don't have to tell me the answer, but what is it when you picture God? Who is God? Is he some 12-foot Santa Claus-looking man up in heaven? Like, 12-year-old Sadie thought so. I still don't know. I haven't seen his face because I'm still here. Thank you, Cooper, for laughing. But, like, when you picture God, who is he? And our invitation tonight, I'm going to keep it real simple, short and sweet. Let his compassion come in and teach you who he is. And we're going to, like, camp out in that for the next couple weeks. And we'll learn more about it. But God's grace is everything. And it's crazy to think about, but we owe it to God himself that we even know anything about who he is. Like, none of these theological constructions come from our brains. Well, some of them do. But the truth of who God is only comes from who God says he is. And so not only is God's grace manifested in his mercy towards the Israelites' sins in that story that we read, but also in the proclamation of his own name and his own character. The Israelites were powerless, powerless, powerless to wash away their own sins. They couldn't make things right enough. And they were equally powerless to acquire any original knowledge about God. And tonight, what I think is the appropriate thing for us to do is to just praise God for who he is, for forgiving us and for revealing himself to us tonight. Because the God of the universe is with us in this room. That's what we learn about in the person of Jesus. And I constantly take it for granted that God's in this room every Thursday night, and that he's here all the time and when we're worshiping him. And like, we do these cute things when we're leading worship where it's like, God, we invite you into this space. But it, like, he's already here. I'm sure he's like, adorable. Okay, I'll just be here now. Thank you for letting me in, but like, I created the world. And we aren't really owed his presence. Like, I still think that if God chose to like create everything and then just watch, like he would still be worth it. But he didn't. He wants to interact with you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and he knows you. But he freely gives all of this grace to us, and that's all it's about. And so I don't really have a whole lot else to say besides the fact that I would like God to meet you in this place and to whisper to you or give you this gut feeling about like who he actually is in your life. And we'll explore more of that in the weeks to come. And I'd like for us to spend some time reflecting and worshiping together, to allow this to be a time for God to reveal himself to you. And if you don't know what that means, like if that's just a bunch of like Christian language that you're like, yeah, I don't know what that means. I'm not really convinced that God talks to me. I've never heard a voice. Me neither. I want you to find a well leader and talk to them if that's what you need to do. So like, I did not preface them for this. Well leaders, stand up. Look around, everybody. The people standing, except for Evan and Jackson and Angelica, are willing to talk to you and Lydia back there. During this next worship set, they're not unwilling to talk to you. Like, Jackson's just going to be playing the drums, so it would be pretty hard to multitask. You can sit down. Or, like, find a friend and ask them if they know what it means to, like, experience God. But as well leaders and as the well community and whatever, we love any opportunity to come alongside and pray with you about anything in your life. And so there's a prayer wall in the back that has these strings that you can like clip your prayers to. And we will faithfully pray for those things throughout the week. And so if you're like, yo, listen, I'm not ready to talk to somebody, feel free to put any prayer requests back there tonight. If you would like God to prove himself in your life, put that. We'll pray for it. I believe that will happen. But you can also just find a leader if you want a prayer of blessing or encouragement or anything. If you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm doing pretty well with the Lord right now, feel free to just get a prayer of encouragement. We're here for it. But like, I don't know. I have more written down to say, but I just don't feel like it's the right time to say it. I don't know how to explain that to you, except for that. So the band's just going to come back, and we're going to worship together. And yeah, that's true. So I am of the conviction that God is going to meet you in this place. And so I'm just going to pray. Because God's better than me at